We have anyone else from the audience who would like to address the board?
Shelley Doherty, 19 Foxfire Lane. I just have a couple concerns. One is very specifically conflict of interest. I just want to make sure when this board goes to make this decision that if there is perhaps a conflict of why anyone sitting on the board may not have a very clear position as to, you know, being open-minded to making the decision, to please step away and not vote. Conflict of interest, what do I exactly mean by that? My husband works in telecommunications and his uncle is a judge for the FCC. On occasions we get a phone call, are you working on this project or is there any thing that you have that you deal with during your day that could be a conflict? If there is, that case is not allowed in his courtroom, conflict of interest. So just, you know, make sure that there's not a conflict. And I just pose that to the board because I do have some concerns about that. In regard to the middle school model, I just want to tell you that personally, my child had an extremely wonderful experience because of the team model. She had an enormous surgery this year, and the teachers went above and beyond, and given the fact that they had the ability to have the communication amongst one another and communicate, they were able to help her, and I am very, very grateful for that, and I do hope that that is tabled and really statistically look at if that's really valuable to the children, to the student body, because I think the team model is a wonderful asset. And my daughter specifically had a very positive experience with that. That's all I have to say. Good luck on voting, and I hope you all do the right thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else in the public that would like to address the board?
Okay, good evening, Mr. Dinkoff, Board of Education. I'm gonna go New Jersey fast so I can get in my 3 minutes. This is a prepared letter. It's an amalgam of input.
Kathy, we know your name, but could you say it for some people in the audience who might not know who you are?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Kathleen Collins, president of the Clinton Township Education Association.
Thank you.
This is a prepared letter, and it's an amalgam of input from the association members, and I'll be more than willing to finish it if I surpass the time limit. Okay, as I said, I'm representing the Clinton Township Education Association with a letter that is addressed to the Board of Education. I will give you a copy of it. Let me begin by stating that in the history of the CTEA, there has, until this point, never been an occasion to even consider taking a vote of no confidence in a superintendent. We understand that this is a measure not to be treated lightly and is one which our association did not decide on hastily. There have been many reasons we have come to this conclusion based on our interactions with Mr. Carroll, our superintendent, over the last year and a half. As the collective staff of this district, we feel that Mr. Carroll's leadership has not been effective and will not best serve our community going forward. Since Mr. Carroll's appointment to the district, there has been a lack of communication, a lack of transparency, a lack of follow-through, a lack of vision, a lack of true collaboration between staff and administration, and a lack of understanding what truly happens in the schools he oversees. Decisions affecting our children, our taxpayers, and our teachers have often been made without the counsel of those who know the district and its needs best, the teachers. Teachers have been moved to different positions involuntarily, despite Mr. Carroll's charge otherwise, at a recent board meeting. Teachers' jobs were posted before people were told of a move. Teachers are often not told reasons for these moves. Last year's attempt to disrupt the teaching model in the middle school was met with resistance from teachers and community members, not only because of Mr. Carroll's lack of support information in backing this decision, but also because of his lack of dialogue with the teachers who know their building best. Again, these decisions are made seemingly as if they are made in a bubble that is very isolated from the actual community and the schools they are affecting. Last year, as many changes were being discussed regarding staff movement and getting rid of the middle school model, Mr. Carroll presented it at a board meeting as if it had been a long collaborative discussion regarding the changes he was planning. In reality, he came to one staff meeting and spoke to us, not with us, and briefly. As part of the strategic plan, teachers were asked to prepare goals for their grade or subject. These were supposed to be in the discussion phase and were to be discussed with the board. They were made public at a board meeting without staff knowledge. In fact, staff was told these goals would not be made public. Mr. Carroll seems to not have a full understanding of the programs used in the district or current best practices. Decisions seem to be made without input from staff, planning, or research. Some changes actually go against all current research for best practices. Many of these programs are then implemented quickly without adequate and sufficient training. Another area for concern is the lack of unity and chance for collaboration between the teachers and administration. Since Mr. Carroll's tenure, there has been a feel of an us versus them that has not been present in past administrations. This tone has been very cold and businesslike. Instead of guiding and collaborating with his staff, he has chosen to make his decisions in a top-down autocratic style, seemingly without the end result of children's education in mind. When it comes to planning, Mr. Carroll has frequently taken the lead without the wisdom and understanding that comes from actually being in the schools on a daily basis. The reasons behind school choice is unclear. Mr. Carroll's statement that class sizes will not be impacted by school choice is another untruth. Where will these added students go if they are not going to impact class sizes? Classrooms will be impacted by having more students. At the same time, supply budgets are at the lowest they have been in years. In some areas in the district, teachers have been told that they have less than $1 per student for supplies. At this moment in time, the money we are getting for these students to attend has not made it into the classroom, nor has a plan for such additional money been communicated to us. We bring these points up to illustrate the ineffective leadership that can't continue if Clinton Township is to continue to be a successful district. Clinton Township was once a district to be proud of, one where every decision that was made had the student at the center of every discussion, and there was true collaborative discussions before decisions were made. We were a model district that other schools came to in order to understand how to implement our best practices. We stayed at the forefront of research and professional development in order to stay at the top. Mr. Carroll has changed that. Instead of having the student at the center of decisions, we have the bottom line, or so it seems. The last school to visit us for best practices was here the year before Mr. Carroll took office. And this past year, the teacher spent most of what was called professional development doing data entry into Rubicon Atlas, a curriculum mapping database. We bring these points up to illustrate the ineffective leadership that can't continue if Clinton Township is to continue to be a successful district. We took a vote of no confidence to tell the community that we don't have confidence in Mr. Carroll's willingness to do what is best for the district and our community. Having a successful district is in the best interest of the taxpayer, the parent, the student, and those who work here in the Clinton Township School District. We had hoped that Mr. Carroll would emerge as someone who could and would lead us in a positive direction. But the more time passed, the more Mr. Carroll made decisions that are having a negative impact on our classrooms and in turn our students. From our perspective, Mr. Carroll has proven to be a poor fit for this district. As was stated in the beginning of this letter, the association did not consider this decision of a vote of no confidence lightly, but felt that there was no other choice to be made. On June 15, 2011, the Clinton Township Education Association took this vote of no confidence of Mr. Carroll, and it passed by an overwhelming majority. In fact, 81% of the membership approved the vote of no confidence. More specifics in regard to the broad points made in this letter are in the addendum, and I'd be more than happy to give this to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Susan Koss, 1 Bennington Road.
I'm sorry, would you give us the last name again, please?
Koss, K-O-S-S.
Thank you.
I'm gonna probably second a lot of this thing, but Ian, Brandon, Kurt, and my son, my oldest, have gotten an education that the little kids in this district will never see. Last year I was here when the middle school model discussion was going on. And I know when Tom came come up from the New Jersey and New York Middle Schools Association came up here, Kevin Carroll at one point interrupted him and said, well, I'm a principal and teacher of K through four. Well, our district is K through eight. And I sat there and I was ready to scream. And I know, Jim, that you were at graduation last year, and Gerard Dalton got up and talked to the kids, and you can see the kids. He's turned around, he says, what's the one word that he's always after us, that I'm always asking? You could tell the kids, as a parent, you can see, and I was biting my lip not to laugh, because the kids are all squirming, because they know the word that Gerard's talking about. And he's like, and they all go, no, I forgot, conscience. And Gerard's like, come on, say it louder. And the kids are like, conscience. Kevin gets up there, talks about Stephen Covey and his seven highly effective habits from 1990. The kids are sitting there like this. Oh boy, nothing. They were bored. I was around the middle school the 2 years. The first year, it's like Kevin's lurking around. Where is he? Some of the stuff that he put up on the bulletin board is his, as is his accomplishments. There was a great outcry when he put Judy Hammond back in the kindergarten, and everybody wanted her back as principal of Round Valley because she was helping out everything there. Sorry, I lost where I was. He goes around and says the budget didn't pass because of the new people that are on the board. Well, you know, we sat in the community partnership for the strategic plan, and there were three things that they came up with saying that people don't vote for a budget. It's they don't care, they don't know, or it's the money. But there's another thing too. It turns out that there could also be a vote of no confidence. Are you gonna hand people money who's gonna spend it on things? Or would you lend money to people who's gonna spend it if they say, well, I need it for this and it's not gonna go for this? They don't have to go to the polls to vote no. They just have to stay home. Now, you guys need to think about what we need in this district. You know, some of these things, like I forget which individual said it, they weren't Kevin's. I talked to Elaine Stugnicki about electronic backpack way before Kevin was even here. My son had just come in, you know, was there. So not all of it, some of it's your accomplishments that are done.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're at 3 minutes.
No, I'm going.
You can finish.
But I just wanted to say, think about it, because our budget didn't pass for so many years, but what was the actual reason? You know, these people with the three new members have talked about a lot of things, you know, and people feel more confident that, you know, things are going to get done. So think about it.
Thank you.
Good evening, Pat Warner Proctor, 16 Smithfield Road. I'm a parent and a taxpayer, but I'm also chairperson of the Board for Safe in Hunterdon, our local charity that supports families affected by domestic violence. And as a board member of a nonprofit like you, we have to do evaluations of our executive director. Now, a big part of that is how they interact with us as the board, but also a big part of that is their influence in the community. So we take surveys of staff, of stakeholders in the community, like parents would for the board here. And I just want to make sure that as a board, you have all the information you need to make an educated decision about this contract renewal. I don't have any issues with Mr. Carroll, but I want to make sure as a board, you've got the information you need to make an educated decision. And that includes surveying all of your stakeholders. And if you've done that, I hope you let the public know that you've done that. Yes, we have. And if you haven't, I hope you'll go back and do that. But I just want to make sure that you're looking at the big picture for the community, for the children. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Corcadellis, would you like to address the board again? Sure.
Don Sherblum, ClintonRealEstate.com, and 141 Hannondale Highbridge Road.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm a taxpaying citizen, like I think everyone here.
Speak into the mic, please, Don.
Let me move the mic. Can you hear me now? How about that? Can you hear me? You hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. I've been active in Clinton Township for coming on a decade, about 8 years. First with the Ad Hoc Citizens Advisory Committee that advised the school board on building this middle school. And then as vice chair of the Township Historic Preservation Commission, and then also most recently, actually not that recently, about 5-6 years ago, started the nonprofit, the Vote House, Inc. And I've had kids, my daughter's graduating from middle school tomorrow, my son's at the high school, so I've been aware of the district. I've interacted with a number of school boards, good number of administrators, 2 or 3 if you count Dennis Fife as well. And I think there's a couple of things that are getting confused here tonight, one of which is this question of no confidence that's expressed by a no vote. On the one hand, there's a desire to say that the public has no confidence in the school board and in Kevin Carroll because the vote has been no on the school budget. In fact, Dr. Gullies said that in your letter. That's numerous times the budget was voted down. That the community sent repeated and clear messages about their confidence in the board and Superintendent Carroll. Numerous budgets have failed to pass. But in fact, one budget failed to pass. Not numerous budgets. One passed and one didn't pass since Kevin Carroll came on board. This bothers me that there's a conflation of a long-term loss of confidence that started when the middle school referendum was passed. At that point, Clinton Township was growing very rapidly. When we passed the referendum, Hunterdon County was the fastest growing county in New Jersey. By the time the school was opened in September of 2007 after delays caused by the C1 stream and the Vote House, the whole demographic shift had taken place. Now, you didn't have younger families moving in and you had stagnant populations among students and then declining population among students. So then the middle school was seen as unnecessary. So there's been a backlash against the building of middle school. That's why budgets have failed from 2004 until most recently. So I think it's important to have that historical perspective as to the reason for the loss of confidence. And if that voting budgets down is an indication of a lack of confidence in the administration and the school board, it's not fair to say that voting the budget up is not an indication that the confidence in the school board and in Kevin Carroll is turning around. You can't have it both ways. So, you know, I've been involved with the school district, and this is what I see, is that an uneven progress, perhaps, over the last 2 years, but progress. And I think it would be ironic, it'd be unfair, it would be counterproductive to start all over again and to deny a contract to Kevin Carroll. That's what I think.
Thank you. Before we give Mr. Corcadellis an opportunity to address the board again, is there anyone else in the public who has not addressed the board who would like to at this time?
Laura Freda, 14 Grandin Terrace. Sorry, I'm on an angle and I'll fall over. I just want to say that, as you know, I have 3 girls that go to Patrick McGarren School. And when I go to back to school night and all of that, there are always lists of things that parents can sign up to do for the kids to help the teacher out, read, do a lot of different things, which is very important. There's also a list of things that the teachers need, like pencils or markers or tissues or wipes or whatever. And that's important, but what I wonder is, why aren't these things provided for the teachers? It shouldn't come out of their pocket, certainly shouldn't come out of my pocket. I mean, I provide my daughters with that anyway in their backpack, so they always have something to keep their hands clean. I look at it that when I get those lists, I buy everything on the list, and I send it into school with my daughters because I feel that I don't want the teachers not to have something that they need. And I think when you look at this and you're looking at what the teachers are saying to you, that things aren't being provided to them, whether it's books or you want to buy iPads, that is great, but I mean, what if the satellite crashes and we can't, and we have no books because we're putting our money into iPads or something like that? We don't have the old basic way we all learned how to do things. I think that's important, and we shouldn't give up the normal learning of how you all learned, how I learned, how a lot of the teachers learned, that for iPads. The other thing is, a lot of the things that I thought the presentation that Mr. Carroll provided was very good, very informative. However, I've been asking for something for months now at every board meeting, asking him to show me what he's done, what he plans to do. And it's coming up at the 24th hour, because now he has to be voted if he's staying or going. And that, to me, looks like he's scrambling a little bit. He should have done this a while ago, not a vote before he gets voted in or out. So that, to me, doesn't look good, and it doesn't represent the type of leader that we want. I want someone who's prepared, who knows, and who the kids know. So that's what I think, and that's all I have to say. And I'm under 3 minutes.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Ruth Galena, 2 Robert Drive. I have a girl in the district, and I frankly was not planning on speaking today.
Galena?
Galena, G-A-L-L-I-N-A.
Okay? Thank you.
You're welcome. I wasn't planning on speaking, frankly, but when the gentleman in the beginning started talking about it's a democracy, but you know, do whatever you want, this is a representative government, and whether you were recent or before, I've been a resident for 11 years, so I guess I voted for everyone here, and I have to trust that you're going to do what's best for all of the children and all the constituents in our district. And I don't claim to understand a lot of the statistics, because that's what my husband does, all right? I just know when I hear things about we don't give enough money for textbooks, my daughter's going to be in fourth grade. When I hear that we're getting new iPads, but we don't have textbooks for fifth grade and seventh grade, that concerns me. When the CTEA has a no confidence vote, and those are the teachers who've done a phenomenal job for my daughter ever since she was in kindergarten, that concerns me. When I hear about negative test scores, 5 times this, and the only good one, quote unquote, was the middle school model that was gonna be dismantled, that concerns me. And when I wanna know about the curriculum so I can help my daughter be prepared and I can't get it or find it or figure out clear things, that concerns me. And so when they talk about voting your conscience, which is what this gentleman said, I don't think we're here to persecute anybody, which is really what a vote of conscience, in my opinion. I don't think this should be personal. I think that as a business, you look and evaluate clearly with measurements how someone does in their role, and they can be a great person and still not be a good fit. We've all been in business and know that that can happen. So I hope this doesn't become a personal thing or a conscious thing as much as it's a clear measurement of what will work to help our community move forward academically. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gorgodelis, if you'd like to address the board again.
Thank you. At the last board meeting, Mark Kaplan said a couple of times that the board doesn't run our schools. Really, our professionals, our experts, run our schools day to day. And what that tells me is that Mr. Carroll, as the head of the district, the superintendent, is really our number one leader. His job is to lead. And it's to lead by example, it's to lead by advocacy, it's by leading us in the directions he really believes we need to go. Over the past many years, this district has demonstrated a huge disparity between how it compensates administrators and how it compensates teachers. And I believe Mr. Carroll had an obligation during his time here to do something about that. And Michelle Cresti, I really differ with you when you say, actually I don't differ with you, you're right. The Lebanon, what I call the Lebanon bonus, which you call the Lebanon stipend, has been going on for years. That's not Mr. Carroll's fault. You guys put it into place a long time ago. And it was wrong. And I believe it was wrong for Mr. Carroll to not stand up to it. When we have full-time exempt employees working for this district, being paid extra money to do work for another district, when they supposedly have time to do it, there's something wrong with that. And it just seems to escape every year, and the excuse is we've been doing it forever. So you boost the salaries of administrators by thousands of dollars, up to 17%. And yet you think there's no problem with that. When you have a delta somewhere in the tens of thousands of dollars, by my rough calculations, between what the teachers are asking you for and what you're offering them. And when you stop and consider that as a leader, Mr. Carroll claims that he instituted recording meetings. Well, when I found a gap in the audio, I inquired about it. And what I found out there was a problem during a discussion about that 4% increase for the administrators. That wasn't recorded, I couldn't hear it. At the May 24th meeting, the business administrator, Ms. Leonhardt, stated, I can quote it to you, I have it written down from the audio, that going forward we'll be recording all the meetings twice with two recorders. At the very next meeting, it wasn't recorded. And her explanation to me in an email was, well, that was a special meeting, we don't record those. And yet the December 9th meeting, 2010, was a special meeting, that was recorded. And then I found out that on June 2nd, when the meeting wasn't recorded, in fact, Ms. Leonhardt wasn't at the meeting. She was attending the Lebanon Borough School Board meeting, where she's getting paid an extra $18,000. I want to quote from our leader. What Mr. Carroll said regarding the teacher's contract is, also, the board cannot agree to a material reduction in staff time without compromising the quality of instruction delivered to students. And yet, Mr. Carroll seems to have no problem not standing up and saying something about the fact that you're paying a full-time exempt administrator to service this district. She's not here to record a meeting or to take minutes.
Mr. Corcadellis, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're here to talk about the superintendent's contract, the superintendent's evaluation, not the business administrator board secretary.
I am talking about Mr. Carroll's failure as the leader of this district. If you haven't been listening, Mr. Dinkup, he's the leader of this district. He has not stood up to fix a wrong. And the wrong has been exorbitant extra payments to administrators who can't do the job in this district while you're letting them moonlight somewhere else. That's the board's fault. But it's Mr. Carroll's responsibility as the leader to point that out to you and to tell you to fix it. And I don't see him doing that. What I see him doing is supporting exorbitant raises for administrators. And while I agree the board votes on the teacher's contract, the personnel committee negotiates with the teacher's union, Mr. Carroll is the leader. How far and how many times removed can we get from Mr. Kaplan telling us the board doesn't run the district, our experts run the district? At the last meeting, Mr. Carroll was addressed on another matter and he deferred to his experts. So who really is in charge of the district? You are in charge of the district. I differ with Mr. Kaplan. However, you entrust the day-to-day operations and a lot of the policy setting with our teachers to Mr. Carroll. And you have just been told one thing, you can ignore the rest of us. In the history of this district, there's never been a no vote, a vote of no confidence in the teachers in this district about a superintendent. And please don't muddle your minds thinking that, well, their contract is under negotiation, they're upset. Their contract's been under negotiation before. A lot of us had a problem with Dr. Nastas. The teachers never give you a vote of no confidence. It's never happened before. You can ignore the rest of us. We all interact with this district to the extent that we see what our teachers do with our kids. And what our teachers do with our kids is wonderful. If you're going to sit there and pretend that there is not a leader in this district, I'm going to agree with you, because you're not pretending. There is not leadership in this district. The last leader that this district had, a true leader, was Gerard Dalton. And what I will tell you right now, appropriate or inappropriate, if this board did not take any steps to suggest to Mr. Dalton that he put his name in the hat for this position 3 years ago, you made a huge mistake. Because that's the kind of character and individual and motivation and talent that you should be looking for. I don't know Mr. Carroll personally. I have no gripes with the individual. I don't know him personally. The only experience I had with him was a series of emails a year or so ago about the school budget. We went back and forth a lot, and I had a lot of hope. And when I asked a couple of really tough questions, I got no emails back. That was when I stopped believing that we had a leader here. So what I'm suggesting to all of you is, if you don't take the fact that our teachers just gave your superintendent a vote of no confidence totally to heart, then something is very, very wrong in the way you're leading this district. Because you need to step back. There should have been a much fuller process. It was embarrassing that he had to stand up here at a meeting that you all called specially to allow the public to speak. You're not doing your jobs if you're not making sure that your superintendent has an opportunity to articulate what he thinks he's accomplished. You're not doing your jobs if you think that it doesn't matter to this community. Not a lot of people here have spoken, but there's a huge number of people here tonight. You had to move the meeting from the library into this auditorium. And I think that's a great thing. The wonderful thing is that if you listen and you engage this community in the biggest educational matter of substance that matters to us, budgets matter to us, special programs and initiatives matter to us, who leads this district matters more than anything else. Please stop and consider. I don't think you made a wise choice 3 years ago. I think you need to get the public very involved. One resident outlined with umpteen citations and references various materials that you could, should, but have not been using to prepare the criteria that you use to evaluate your leader, and maybe yourselves, and maybe to judge us as well. Not all of us do a great job participating in this district. Maybe this is a watershed point. You just got 3 new members on this board. I believe next year you're going to get 3 more. And I believe this board is going to change dramatically next year. Those of you who've been here for a while, you're my neighbors. I think you're stuck. And I think you need to get unstuck. Please, think hard about what you're doing. As far as I'm concerned, if our teachers have no confidence in Mr. Carroll, Mr. Carroll should not be here next year. Thank you.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Jody Lebbing, 35 West Street in Annandale. Wow, there's a lot of opinions out there, and there's a lot of passion. It's a lot of passion for our kids and for our community. I think everyone here, the full board, Mr. Carroll, the leadership team, parents, politicians, everybody, teachers, excuse me, everybody has our children's best interest at heart. I've never seen it more apparent. I've been to a lot of board meetings. I was a former board member. I hear a lot of discussion. Some of it floors me, quite frankly. I have never heard the teachers or any of our leadership team come to myself, or do I know of anyone that has come to any member of the board and expressed concerns about Mr. Carroll's leadership ability. I hear a lot, I've read a lot about his autocratic style, but yet not one individual has ever come forward and communicated that. This is a pretty good board. To whom? Did you come to the board?
Ms. Leving, just address the board, Ms. Leving, please.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
My point is that as a board member, no one ever communicated with me that there was a concern. And I can tell you, I have received emails from the community, and I respond to those emails. Every one of them. You can ask Mary Grace. She sent me one. I sent one back. I read them. Oh, I'm sorry. Mary Reese, I'm sorry. Is that not true? So I deeply care about our kids. I deeply care about our community, and I want to ensure that we have the appropriate leadership in place. I find it a disgrace that we have meetings every single month, and we ask for community input every single month, and it takes 2 years into his tenure for anyone to get up and say we have a big issue? I'm not sure I can put a lot of stock into this vote of no confidence if I've never heard it before tonight. As a board member, I've dealt with Mr. Carroll. I've called him. He's been very responsive to me. When we were seeking him, we held stakeholder meetings. We asked our elected officials to come out and tell us what's important to them. We asked parents, what's important to you? Come out, talk to us. We want to get the right leader for this school district. We asked our staff, come out, tell us what's important. We didn't get too many people coming out, I gotta tell you. How many did we get, guys? Maybe 23? There weren't too many. So we didn't get a lot of input from the public. So to tell me or anybody else up here, hey, we haven't been consulted. You know what, I gotta tell you, it's a load of you-know-what doohickey. I'm disappointed. This board has bent over backwards to put themselves out there to ask you for your opinion. I'm glad they're here asking it again tonight, but make no mistake, they have asked you consistently. Kevin, we asked you to make some tough decisions. I think you've done that. We've asked for you to be consistent. I think you've done that. Do you have room to grow? Yeah, you do. When we hired you, we knew you didn't have too many years under your belt. We knew you were kind of green, and we thought you would grow into your role, and I believe you are. I wish you much success.
Thank you, Ms. Leving. Before Mr. Gulley addresses the board again, is there anyone else in the audience who has not spoken that would like to address the board?
Hi, Diane Merman, Montaigne Place, Lebanon.
I'm sorry, we didn't get the last name.
Merman, M-E-H-R-M-A-N-N.
Thank you.
I was not planning to speak tonight. I spoke last week, but I just have to make some comments. I've been at many board meetings this year where I have heard many, many people address the board with many, many questions. So for somebody to come up here and say, oh, where's all this coming from? You have to be blind not to know where it's coming from. There have been many times I've been to meetings and asked questions. I've had private meetings with Mr. Carroll and asked questions. My husband had private meetings with Mr. Carroll and asked questions. So how can you say that the community, that this is a blind side? It is not. It is not a blind side.
No. We can't get involved in the dialogue going on between people in the audience.
Well, it's actually, I'm addressing you guys. So if you think that people aren't, you know, haven't come out and express themselves, then you've got to be blind because people have come out and expressed themselves. I've come out. I've been at many meetings. This is not the first meeting in the auditorium, which means that there are a lot of people coming out who are interested in what is going on with the board. And I do have to say that to hear that the teachers, 81% have a vote of no confidence, that to me speaks volumes. I've worked in many districts throughout the state starting in the early 90s, and I have never, ever, ever been in a building in a school district where the teachers had that kind of vote of no confidence. I'm shocked. And that just, I guess, in my opinion, I have to think of the proper wording, but I guess just to generalize, to hear that the teachers have no confidence in the superintendent, who is supposed to be the leader of the entire school district, I think that just speaks volumes. I don't even know what else to say. I can't have confidence in my superintendent if the teachers don't have confidence, because how can the operation be running smoothly if people aren't confident in the leadership? That's it. To say that, where did this come from? How can people haven't addressed things in the past? They've been addressed. I've heard them. And I'm rather new to the community, and I've heard them. Thank you.
Thank you. It's all yours, Mr. Gulley. This will be our last comment from the public.
Okay, thank you. First off, I'd like to acknowledge your point, and your point is well taken. The truth is, none of us really know why those budgets pass or fail, including myself. I only know what I hear. So I think that would be a good thing for the board to pursue and try to identify in the future if we have budget issues, either positive or negative. Why did people vote for it, or why were they against? I think that everyone here has the same motives as I do, which is to improve the quality of our schools and leave a lasting positive impact on our community. I have no personal issue with you at all, Mr. Carroll. I have no personal issue with any board member. I don't actually want to be here at this moment, okay?
You're not the only one.
But I had expressed some of the issues about the metrics before, and numbers are one thing, but I want to tell a brief story, a tale of two superintendents that came about as I did this research. When I was researching the number of superintendents in the district, I ran across a quote from a superintendent who's in a D-level district. We're in an I. This person voluntarily gave him or herself a wage freeze, arguing that these were tough times, and as a leader, the superintendent had to set an example for everyone. I thought that this was a pretty impressive value system put forth by a person, so I went and looked at that person's numbers. This person's paid about $15,000 less than Mr. Carroll. The school district is slightly larger than ours, and it has fewer resources than ours because it's a D-level district. They have a clear and powerfully articulated strategy for instruction. Their school is voted one of the top 10 most improved in the state of New Jersey. The district spends below state averages on both faculty and administration. And by the way, my comments earlier about administration were not at all directed to excellent administrators that we have, like Ms. Postma and Mrs. Goad. They are truly among the best administrators I've ever met in my life, and I applaud them. So they spend below state averages on both faculty and administrators, and the growth in these expenditures is flat across both similar and in growth to state averages. So it's similar to everything that's going on at the state. Overall, though, they have less money to spend. Classes are slightly larger than the state averages, but they're smaller than our district. They spend 11%, okay, now this is the important part. They spend 11% below state averages per student, but they spend 36% above state averages in classroom supplies and textbooks. Okay, they have more administrative experience than we do, and their faculty experience is about equal. As I had mentioned, one of the schools was voted most improved school in the state. When I looked at their trend analysis, of the test scores I had, 5 had a significant positive trend, 1 had a non-significant positive trend, and 3 were non-significantly down or flat. Their SAT scores crush their district factor group comparison groups. So I ask you, you've heard the testimony tonight from many people. It may be unpleasant to have to think about making such tough decisions, hiring decisions in this economic climate, especially with the changes going on in the state budget, but did I just mention that person makes $15,000 less than we currently pay? You are our representatives. I cannot disagree strongly enough with one of the gentlemen who spoke earlier. And also, I cannot disagree strongly enough. You cannot discount the voice of our teachers who teach our children by saying that they didn't come forth and speak. If they didn't come forth and speak, it could be an issue of fear and trust. So you are our representatives. You're the voice for us, our teachers, our kids, our community. Your decision has tremendous weight and impact, as I've articulated in the previous meetings. Please show us that we're not living with an autocratic system. I believe in a democratic process, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. I'm sure you do too, so please represent us well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gullin.
Mr. Dinkoff, may I just make a point of fact?
Yes, go ahead.
Just as a response to that, or as a point to that, last statement, Mr. Carroll did in fact take a flat salary this year.
Correct.
And so did all the administrators as well. So and that is a point.
That was before the governor set the limit on the number, on the amount of money a superintendent can make.
No, that was my choice. That was the 4% that the administrators, and I don't want to get into a debate on the administrators because that is not our role here tonight, but the 4% that was, we extended their contract, and that was what that was negotiated years ago. So that 4% that they received in the new contract was a number from years ago. And then the 2.5% also was what we expected at that time for the cap to be. And that's where those numbers came from. I also want to make a point of fact that Mr. Carroll, I am the chair of the negotiations committee for this board, and Mr. Carroll has been nothing but facilitative and helpful in all of our meetings. He has made himself available off hours, on hours, and he has been available for all the meetings that we have had. That is a point of fact as well.
Excuse me, Ms. Crestier, are you saying that Mr. Carroll had no involvement in the negotiation for the administrator's contract? Are you saying categorically Mr. Carroll had no involvement in negotiating?
I never said that.
Okay, so what you implied was that this was not a topic for discussion because he's really not involved in it. But you're saying that he was involved in negotiating the contract for the administrators. Was he or wasn't he?
Let me clarify this. The administrators had a three-year contract that was negotiated in 2008. In 2008, our administrators had a three-year contract which called for a 4% increase in salary. 2008-2009 was the first year. 2009-2010 was the second year. And 2010-2011 was the third year. In 2008, our administrative group and the Board of Education thought that the 4% increase in salary was a fair and reasonable percentage increase, all right? Last spring, when they were finishing up the second year of the three-year contract, the administrators came to the board and said, we would like to renegotiate our current contract. And one of the main reasons for the administrative group coming to the board to renegotiate that contract was to save the 1.5% that they were going to have to pay towards the pension, towards health benefits. So the administrator said to us, we're entitled to 4% for the 2010-2011 school year, which would have been the last year, the third year of the contract negotiated in 2008. The administrator said to us, they will take a zero increase in salary for 2010-2011, that they would take the 4%, which they were entitled to as the last year of the contract negotiated in 2008. And then the cap at the time, the state was talking about the district cap being 2.5%. So that's where the 2.5% came from. So last spring, the board, not the superintendent, the board and the administrators settled on a new three-year contract, which in fact saved them the 1.5% that they would have had to pay for their health benefits. But their current contract then was 0% for the 2010-2011 school year, 4% for the second year of that contract, which is going to be the 2011-2012, and then 2.5%. We were also involved in negotiations with our teachers association. And we tried to negotiate a contract with the Teachers Association last spring before the deadline went into effect for the 1.5%. The teachers were offered two separate proposals. The first one called for a zero increase for the 2010-2011 school year, 2%, 2%, same health benefits. We offered them another contract offer after that, 0% for the 2010-2011 school year, 2.5% for the second year, 2.5% for the third year. If they had accepted that proposal, if accepted that agreement, they would have gotten a 5% raise over 3 years, plus they would have saved 1.5%. They would have saved 1.5% for each of the 3 years. That came to a total of 9.5% over 3 years. I really don't know if that total package had been offered to the general membership, or if that was something that was just negotiated and talked about with Mr. Render, who was their NJEA representative, and the negotiating team. But the teachers were offered a proposal which would have saved them the 1.5% over the 3 years. Yeah, we're negotiating in public now. Yes, we are. We're negotiating in public ever since we went into fact-finding and that information was released to the fact-finder. And we've been told by the board attorney that we can release those figures. Does the general membership of the CTEA understand that? And Mrs. Christie is telling me that the teachers were actually offered 0.33. So that's a total of 6%. And if you throw in the 1.5 for each of the 3 years, that's another 4.5%. That comes to 10.5% that they were offered back in the spring of 2010. Mr. Corcadellis, you've had two opportunities to address this board. The board will be meeting next Monday night and a public meeting, and you'll have an opportunity to address the board again. Thank you.
Hi, Megan Verderamo, 1264 Route 31, Lebanon, New Jersey. I didn't plan on talking. My husband will probably kill me for talking, but my big question to all of you is, actually, I'm in a state of shock, actually, because when I came here, I was hoping to really hear a voice of, you know, reasoning of what Mr. Carroll's thing is. And it, what just happened, I truly believe is why the people are complaining about Mr. Carroll or bringing attention to you about what's happening with Mr. Carroll. My husband has taught in this district for 12 years, has loved every minute of his 12 years here. And this year has been tough on all of them. And I'm a school teacher in Tewksbury. It's tough on all of us. And my heart's beating. I really cannot believe the anger that's coming from both sides, I guess, in this instance. And the anger that's right here is the most disheartening. So if you're going to share private things in a big meeting like this, I would hope that you be prepared to share both sides and not just one side. And I understand my 3 minutes is up and I'm okay with that, but I'm really saddened by what just happened and it's really despicable.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session. So moved by Mark. We have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Somebody wants to make a point.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I've been a resident for 20 years.
Hold on, we need to table the motion, then Mr. Freeman.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I've been a resident here for 20 years, and you know, part of the, I kept always whatever, and like I said, this is the first time I've ever heard this. Actually, we did have the President's Weekend fiasco. You're a bit confused? Where they turned around and Kevin Carroll decided the days were going to be left on at the end of the snow days will be left on at the end of the year instead of where they should be, causing confusion for North parents and Clinton Township parents. And the other favor I would ask is, please get rid of the Ask the Superintendent page. I asked the superintendent a question on there on March 11th, and it still hasn't been answered. Mr. Frieda went back and even said, what about answering it? There are other people that haven't been answered. It's a misnomer, and there's no, I don't find it being very helpful to everybody if you're gonna say, ask the superintendent. It's a fluff page, if then you're not really not gonna answer the tough questions. Okay, thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you. We have a motion to go into executive session?
Well, actually, we withdrew it, so let's make it again.
That's all I'm asking for. So moved by Mark. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mark. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion's carried.
Action will not be taken upon return.